Hi, and welcome to Assembly Audible. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and today we're talking with the Chief Technology Officer for Additive Manufacturing at 3D Systems, David Lee, PhD. David, appreciate you spending some time with me today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, let me start by having you tell me a little bit about 3D Systems and its background.
So I guess the creation of 3D printing. Back in the day when it was called stereolithography, and then we started naming it rapid prototyping, 3D Systems and Chuck Hull were the ones who founded it. And so this is where it all started, from the standards of files that can be used and the concept of taking those three-dimensional shapes and creating them one layer at a time. And so we've been in it since the 80s, and I personally have been in it since the early 90s, so a long history. The main foundation, again, of 3D Systems is stereolithography, which is a liquid technology using a UV laser. It's obviously grown over the years, and now we like to call it 3D printing or additive manufacturing.
Well, you talk about your history being in this industry. You've been involved with it for so long. Are you surprised at where the technology is today?
You know, it's twofold. I remember in 91, head of marketing for a company I was working with called DTM, envisioned factories where hundreds of machines would be making parts. And so that's what we thought in the day. And it didn't come to pass then. It's now coming to pass now. So I guess my biggest surprise is how long it takes to build an ecosystem around a technology to where it enables those type of manufacturing applications. So again, where we are today, not totally surprised. How long it took to get there, quite a bit. And I think the biggest surprise is when I talk to people and they talk about 3D printing, that they're surprised it's been around for 30 years. Many people, I think it's really not come to the forefront until really the last 4 to 10 years. So that's probably the biggest surprise.
Well, talking about surprises, what are some of the biggest achievements or even breakthroughs that you've had in additive manufacturing that you've seen?
Well, there's quite a bit. I would say that the most fascinating are things that touch your life in a real way. It's neat to show, you know, how a Bugatti was used 3D printing to make a mirror or something, and that's really cool. But when you actually see digital prep and workflow in the medical world, when they're working to make jigs and fixtures and prosthetics to assist in pulling, you know, say conjoined twins apart and having to do that surgery. That's the stuff that's really been amazing, because it's truly marrying the virtual world, that's computers, with the real world. And it has to go back and forth. So you start with the real world, you go into the virtual world, you come back out to print planning and have things and models that the doctors can use. And then when they actually go into surgery, they already have most of that stuff already made and ready to go. So that's the most fascinating thing I've seen in the 3D printing world.
Well, it's amazing to think just, you know, a decade or so ago that the day-to-day workflow would even look the way it looks now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, I mean, again, things that touch your life. I mean, when you watch a movie like Iron Man and then you watch, was it Fred Savage or is it Adam Savage? I can't remember the guy that's on the Mythbusters, and he like makes a 3D printed Iron Man suit and flies with an Iron Man suit, and it's 3D printed. And they actually took the data from the comic or right from the movie to make those files. So that's the kind of stuff that's just fascinating. It's all intertwined.
You don't even realize how much it actually touches everything that you do on a daily basis. It's wild. Can you think of a particular manufacturer or industry that's really taking advantage of additive manufacturing?
Today, those that can use additive in a real way are those that are typically low volumes and high value. So back in the day in computing, those people that were really special use cases, but really high value. So large banks and insurance companies would use computers until it really started to democratize. 3D printing is kind of in the same boat. So when you look at, say, Align Technologies, they are a big user of 3D printing to make all the aligners. So they make the molds that help make the aligners. And so we see a lot of that. So, but while they're large scale, they're really working with one individual patient at a time. So you only have 4 to 12, maybe 20 parts for any individual patient, but then you have to replicate that over thousands of people. And so it's high scale, but we call it, you know, mass customization. So that's really where we see is mass customization. Again, surgical planning is another one, very similar operations, but all the data will be different. And that's probably the biggest user of the data now, but we're starting to see it go into real production.
I also wanted to ask you about 3D Systems recently introducing their new production-grade acrylate resin, Acura AMX Rigid Black, for use with stereolithography technology. Tell me about the new material and what manufacturers can do with it.
So I think the first one is the paradigm is that the stereolithography or the photopolymers are resins that are good for concept models, but not for functional models. So I think that's one thing that AMX Black allows us to do is use something that's pretty high precision, very good surface quality, but actually functional. And so that's the first thing is we now are able to get into a functional space with this resin. Another thing that's really unique, and it's a first of its kind, is we have two different technologies that we use stereolithography resins for. One is a DLP technology, which is the chip that's used in projectors, like in movies and home video. But also DLP is now being used in our Figure 4 technology. So it's a very fast process. And then we have the traditional laser-based over a vat, which is a little slower. We actually took the formulation that we had in our DLP process and ported it over to the other stereolithography process. So I think, again, that's a really big break in chemistry, is being able to kind of transition from one technology into the other. While they're close, they're not exactly the same. And so it was a really good chemical engineering feat.
Now we're seeing 3D printed metal parts being used in supercars, jet engines, even spacecraft. Did you ever think something like that's going to be possible?
You know, honestly, I never thought, you know, I grew up, you know, I'm old enough to remember really the space shuttle, but I wasn't old enough to remember the moonshot. And so I was born probably in the midst of or right after a lot of that. And so the thought of like commercial space travel, you know, it was the Jetsons, right? It wasn't real. Like if we're going to go to space, it's going to be NASA. Well, heck, now it's, you know, the owner of Tesla and Amazon that are going to space. And they've really pushed the space industry quite a bit. And we see a large global push towards that. A lot of it has to do with commercialization of satellites and, you know, from GPS to, any data communications that's happening now with satellites. And a lot of that's enabled with 3D printing. So not only the rockets that are going to space, but the actual satellites and things that are in space have been 3D printed.
Well, I think you're right. I think, you know, who knew as a consumer, not only would you have the option to go to space, but have several options to choose from to get there. It's crazy times, that's for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, what does the future hold for additive manufacturing? We've come so far in that industry. It's I know it's tough to project kind of where we're going, but what do you see in front of us?
Well, I think what we've focused on early in the early days is just the ecosystem, the things that enable the hardware to work, right? So you have to have network. And I mean, in the early days, it's Unix computers and DOS computers. And it was a lot of work just to get computers to talk to each other. But now that's pretty standardized. I think most of the processes are fairly standardized. And I think what we're going to see is really for scale, we need two things. I think one is we're going to find that these things are going to be economical. So we've got to find ways to make parts cheaper. So that's one advancement that I expect us to see. And the other one is we have to scale across applications. And so a lot of work is going to have to be done is how do we translate design into a 3D printed part? As an example, if you're the U.S. Air Force's example, they've got a lot of older planes that they still support. The companies that manufacture those, the Lockheed Martins and Northrops and the Boeing, they have a lot of spare parts, but those a lot of those were designed in the 60s or 70s, and it was on paper and not in CAD. So I think we're going to see a lot of digitization effort that's going to scale the application as we get more kind of robust and a cost-effective means. So again, just like computers, when I was a kid, I think my dad brought in an IBM PC in the 80s. It was around $3,000 to $4,000, which is about half of the price of a car. And so now you can buy a computer, a little phone for $1,000, you know, which is 1/40th the price of a car, and you can put it in your pocket. And so I see that's going to continue to put pressure. I see that's going to happen with 3D printing as well. Once it scales, the cost will come down.
David, I certainly appreciate you spending some time with us today. If someone's interested in finding out more about 3D Systems, what's the best way to get in touch with the company?
Well, like anything, it's probably the internet. Just Google 3D Systems and request a quote, right? So pick your favorite, request a quote. There's always a contact us, but look at us. We're on LinkedIn. We're on the website. We're at your trade show near you now that COVID's open. So come see us.
Well, I certainly appreciate you spending time with us today, and you're always welcome to stop by the show anytime you want. Sound good?
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right. You can check out all of our interviews and articles by visiting our website at assemblymag.com. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast to keep up with our latest episodes. You'll find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. So we invite you to follow us there as well. This has been Assembly Audible. I'm Chris Smith. Thanks for listening.